This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Talking all things Denver Nuggets, maybe some NBA news as well with our guy Chris Dempsey. Chris, first off, man, I saw this one breaking into it probably a little more later today, but the NBA has found no evidence showing Clippers owner Steve Ballmer funneled money through team sponsors to pay Kawhi Leonard in order to circumvent the salary cap. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this. Also, like, do we wonder if this happens more?
I think it happens more than we think.
I think
for
so.
Sure.
It seems like it, man.
But, okay, so this is actually a complicated situation because the NBA has come out and said that the ESPN article that sourced it and said, you know, the NBA has found nothing wrong. The NBA has now said that that article has several inaccuracies and is significantly wrong. So
Wow. We
don't know exactly what's going on here, but it does sound like we're getting close to a conclusion for this. So I'll speak to it like this. If, in fact, that they find there was no wrongdoing and they're not going to significantly penalize the L.A. Clippers, then, you know, tangibly on the court, we're going to start the trade of Kawhi Leonard to the Toronto Raptors will just go through. And then I think on the flip side of this, and you know, of importance to Nuggets fans, is that I think the Clippers become a bigger player in the Peyton Watson sweepstakes. So I think from that standpoint, the machinery of trades and transactions, and now you know, other things starts to move again because it has been ground to a halt because of this investigation. Given the fact that Toronto would incur some of the penalties if Kawhi was on their roster prior, and the NBA was leveling up, you know, levying penalties on teams. So they had to wait. So if we get this resolution in the next couple of weeks and that can go, now we start to see other things start to, some other dominoes maybe start to fall. It's just a very, very interesting situation overall, because boy, where there's smoke, there's fire to me. And it really seems like, you know, the Clippers at the time could not pay Kawhi what the open market could pay Kawhi. And so allegedly what they did was to, kind of just hook him up with this, kind of fake endorsement deal from this now defunct company Aspiration. And that money would make up the difference between what he could have made on the open market versus what the Clippers could have paid him at the time. And so that is absolutely circumventing the salary cap to be able to pay a player, you know, the most money that he could have gotten on the open market. But you can't do that yourself. So it's just a very interesting situation overall. Now, I'll say this, you know, in the NBA, players can be connected to sponsors that work with the team. But what the team cannot do is help negotiate any kind of a contract with said sponsor. And so I think where we are here is in that little bit, in that gray area. Now, Steve Ballmer, the LA Clippers owner, has said all he did was make an introduction, and whatever happened after that happened after that. Okay, and so that's, you know, and no, there's no impropriety, from his point of view. But that's the question. Was there or was there not? And I think we're going to find out, sounds like here, in short order.
Chris, it just seems like this is, it kind of reminds me of what's going on in college in the NCAA with the NIL stuff. It's like, hey, we've already gone over our salary cap, but I can tell you that if you come here, there will be another $3 million. Get in contact with my friend who runs the car factory. I don't know why it's factory, Chris, but that's what it is. car factory here. I didn't negotiate the deal, but I winked at you and said, there's another whatever $1 million waiting for you. It seems like with this, it's so easy to just simply make that introduction. So if you're Ballmer, you go to people on the side and it's like, hey, the guy wants X amount of million more than I can give him, so we might not get him. But if you're good with that, I'll introduce you. Yeah, I'm good with that. So then he introduces Kawhi Leonard to this business, this aspiration business, and then it's done. They work it out on the side. To me, it seems so easy to try to cheat this system in place.
Well, it does, you know, unless you get caught,
right?
You know, and this is, it seems simple on the front side. And to your point, you have a lot of people trying to find the loophole, right, or trying to game the system in order to get the player that they want on their roster. And sometimes you feel like you're smarter than the league, or you're smarter than the rules, or we can do it this way, and they'll never find out. You know, in this case, you know, but it always kind of blows up in your face, right? I mean, in this case, you had Pablo Torre on his podcast literally talk to employees from Aspiration, and they're almost to a person said, yeah, no, this was exact. They knew exactly what they were doing, and this was exactly circumventing the salary cap. So you're just not smarter than the system. And the NBA has these rules, not all these sports do. Have these rules in place because they don't want this kind of stuff to happen, because maybe Kawhi Leonard doesn't end up with the Clippers, or maybe he does. You know, I mean, just at the number that they could pay him, and he just played for less money. You can't entice a player by filling in the gap, the money gap, you know, elsewhere. In order to get him on your roster. And so, but yeah, I mean, this, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, right? there's people out there always trying to figure out a way around things in order to gain some sort of an edge.
Now, and you made the connection too of how this, once we put this story to rest, what that's going to do now in the market, what that's going to mean for Peyton Watson. Boy, Chris, that one, like literally every week since we've had you on, it seems like that gets more negative in terms of talking about the Nuggets and at least Peyton Watson's agent's camp. Every single week, it just seems like, oh boy, there's no way the two sides are going to be able to have a long-term relationship anymore.
Yeah, it seems like they're very far apart on what they what the Nuggets want to pay him, and then what Peyton Watson and his representation feel like his fair market value. And, if it gets super acrimonious, then I don't know that there's a path for him back to the Nuggets. If it kind of stays in a space, If what we're perceiving isn't actually happening behind the scenes, so like our perception of this seems like these sides are a little bit agitated with each other. But if that in fact is not the case, then maybe there could be a pathway for him back. But the money gap seems to be very large here, and unless the Nuggets are able to clear out some space to fit him in at a larger number than even maybe what they have reportedly offered him, then really the only pathway here is a sign and trade somewhere else. Because if you're the Nuggets, what you can't do here is lose the player, you know, at the end of next season. Let's just say he signs his qualifying offer, and then he just walks on you. You can't lose the player for nothing or next to nothing. Because if he signs that qualifying offer and he plays for the Nuggets this season, even if you wanted to trade him in the middle of the season, you're just not going to get the same compensation back that you would have right now. And the reason is because he would be a free agent at the end of the season. And that team that you would trade him to in the middle of the season is going to go, I would have given you this prior to the season if you would have signed and traded him, and now we know we have this player for a number of years, but he might walk on us too. And so now we're not going to give you the same package, anywhere near the same package that we would have given you before. So you know, look, we're halfway through August here, and you know, once we get into September, you start to close in on training camp, and then the start of the season. And you know, I think for the Nuggets, this thing has to be resolved in one of two ways. Either he re-signs with the Nuggets and plays for this team for years to come, or he is signed and traded, and you just cannot have him sign a qualifying offer and then take the risk of him leaving you for nothing next season.
Wow, it's definitely, like we said, it just this one continues to go further south as we progress here, so we'll see what happens on the Peyton Watson side of things. Chris, okay, I just wanted to ask a random one about Joker, because there's just a lot of talk on, you know, a lot of tweets, a lot of social media stuff. Oh, he hasn't signed his extension yet. He's technically going to be a free agent next year. I'm seeing different articles that Joker needs to demand more. Make me feel better about this, Chris. Joker will be a Nugget long term. Will likely retire as a Nugget, right? Come on.
Okay, so I'm gonna take you at the semantics here. Joker will retire as a Nugget. When will that be?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Could it be after this season? Could it? Because what he has at the end of the season is a player option. And if he just declines that, then to become, you know, a free agent, you know, I think that he will retire a Nugget. I don't know when that retirement will be. And, you know, he's doing what a player should do, to be honest with you. We watched LeBron do this a bunch, you know, and that is just continue signing these big money contracts and put yourself in position to do that like every couple of years, which I think for Nikola, he can put himself in position to do that starting next summer. So I don't know where this is going. And this is I don't think he's going to play for another team in America. But then also you had the team in Greece that
right.
Like, oh yeah, no, we called the Nuggets and they immediately rejected us. But we'll see next summer. And so that is out there as well. And so I don't know, man. I think he'll come back and be a Nugget for at least a couple of more seasons. I think he'll start doing, you know, 2+1s or 3. You know, just these short chunk contracts that pay you maximum amount of money so that you can come back and do it again, but also then gives him the flexibility to say, okay, you know, I've done all I can do. I want to hang it up and I don't have to wait through a 5-year contract to be able to do that, to be able to get that done. So, in my own head, I'm not super worried about anything. I just think that Nikola's playing the game that every player should, and that is maximize your value. And he's got basically the best value of any player in this league. And so why wouldn't he cash in on that to the hundreds of millions of dollars that he deserves? But also, because we are now getting to this situation where he really controls his own destiny, it's a little bit unsettling. But I don't think he's going anywhere else other than Denver. If he's not going to play basketball in the NBA anymore, I think he'll just retire and do that. But I would expect that he's still going to be a Nugget, you know, beyond this season for at least a few more years.
And that was always like the greater fear throughout his career, was not really that he'd go somewhere else, but that he might just be like, I'm tired of coming over here. You know, I just want to be home. 'Cause he does. I mean, I'm not one of those guys, oh, he doesn't love basketball, he doesn't care about basketball. But he definitely, you know, the videos online that you see, you see he loves his home. He loves where he is. So that's always kind of the greatest fear. Chris, always appreciate you, my man, and going there with us on the Kawhi Leonard story, too. I'm sure more of that, as you said, is probably going to come out. So we'll be ready for it when it does.
Yeah, all the drama in the NBA right now already.
Gotta love it, man. Chris, appreciate you, bro. Talk to you soon. Chris Dempsey, our Nuggets insider. He says the NBA is coming out saying, hey, there's more details in that. So the ESPN story that Ramona Shelburne is a part of says the NBA has found no evidence showing LA Clippers owner Steve Ballmer funneled money through team sponsors to pay Kawhi Leonard. Chris tells us that the NBA is saying, well, there's a lot of inaccuracies in that report so far. Smitty, sorry, I just got this. Doesn't Ballmer own part of that second company? I believe he did. He was part of that. And now that aspiration, that business, that company, I believe it's dissolved now. So, yes, there's a lot of issues with this. I thought he was a partial owner to that company. And if he was, even just making an introduction would still seem to me like you're over the line as far as circumventing the salary cap.
Yeah, this sounds a little sus. And
did you say sus?
Yeah,
what are we, 12
I'm being
now?
Like the young kids.
Are we a teenager now, Mike?
Yeah.
Wow. That,
totally sus.
Yeah, no. Please, no.
6'7".
No. No one even said that. 11:50 the time. Wrapping up hour number one. We got the top story of the day. Mark Johnson going to join us later on in the show. The latest on Coach Prime. And one of his sons and Shiloh Sanders. We'll get to that. Rockies are fun to watch, Mike. I don't care what the record is. And so is Zach Veen. We'll be right back.
Week two of training camp coverage carries on tonight starting at 5 p.m. Preps Radio will shine the spotlight on the Eaton Reds, brought to you by Eaton A&W. This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.